This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Welcome along to the BetRivers Cricket Show. How's that? I'm Ed Hawkins, pro cricket picker, joined as ever by former odds compiler and now pro cricket picker himself, John Wright. How are you doing, John?
Yeah, not too bad, Ed. Thanks, yourself.
Yeah, I'm good. Well, we've been looking forward to this edition of the BetRivers How's That Cricket Show for absolutely ages, John, haven't we? Because it's the Major League Cricket Tournament Preview. This is where your MLC betting hub is going to be. This is where you find it on the BetRivers Cricket Show. How's that? Talk us through the Major League Cricket Tournament, John. Just sum it up for the pickers and what they can expect. It's a pretty short tournament, six teams, should be exciting stuff.
Yes, and to be fair, the quality in the overseas selections are quite good. You know, there's good Australians, good South Africans, a couple of Pakistanis that are playing that wouldn't be allowed to play in the IPL. So the standard of the sides look pretty good. The format looks pretty good because each franchise can only play five overseas players in any one fixture. So I think this will be brilliant for the American players to bring them along and establish the game in America. So I'm really excited about that. I saw an interview with Kieran Pollard last night, and that's exactly what he said. It's about spreading the word of cricket. And I imagine a lot of these guys are being well paid to go over there. But I think the bigger picture is that off the back of the fact that Florida is going to host a World Cup game in 2024 between Pakistan and India. 2021. This is a relaunch of something big. And although there's only six teams this year, Ed, in the first year, I can see this growing. I can see there being more teams. And I think the players, it'll be a big part of it. Of the players, a lot of these players' white ball profiles. I think America, you know, the weather's good, and it's you know, a lot of these guys will probably opt out of county cricket, won't they, Ed? And chance their arm over there.
Exactly, they will. Major League Cricket, a bit of a battle with the ECB, that's your English domestic board for talent. Of course, it's the English summer at the moment. So on this edition of the BetRivers Cricket Show, how's that? We're going to look at the futures market for you. The BetRivers money line, who wins the MLC 2023? As we said, six teams. So it's a six-team league. Each team plays all the other teams once, and then it's the top four through to a simple semi-final, final situation. We'll give you some possible 11s as well for these teams. You know, the domestic quota is very interesting, shall we say. There are some interesting players who are considered to be homegrown, let's put it that way. And that's where the value is, by the way. We think we've got this tournament sussed. And also we're going to give you the best picks at the end of the show on that futures market. So I think probably the best place to start, John, is if we just list out those futures money line for you for MLC 2023 with BetRivers. MI New York, that's the Mumbai Indians franchise, plus 300 favourites. Not surprised to see them favourites. We'll talk about them in more depth in a bit. LA Knight Riders, next best. That's the Kolkata Knight Riders franchise. All the threes, plus 333. Texas Super Kings, you'll recognise the moniker. Chennai Super Kings, of course, plus 350. All these teams are owned by the same IPL franchises. Seattle Orcas are not there, plus 500. San Francisco Unicorns, probably the best name you'll ever come up with in franchise cricket, also the same price. And then Washington Freedom, also the same price. The market has made a view on who could be the also-rans in this tournament. John, any quick views on how on earth you go about pricing up an inaugural league such as this. I know they weren't doing inaugural leagues back in your day when you were drafting prices, but I mean, it must be really tricky, mustn't it?
It is tricky, but I suppose the one correlation we can probably look at is that the South African inaugural tournament started last year, didn't it? And it was very, very similar. They had Indian teams, teams with Indian money like Mumbai and the Knight Riders at French. And so there is a bit of a correlation there, and I can understand probably why they've made Mumbai favourites, because, you know, a big established Indian franchise. I mean, Mumbai Indians have won IPL more times than any other team. So I can understand why they are slight favourites. It's very, very interesting, the makeup of the sides, because you seem to have pockets of players of the same nation at the particular franchises, which I find very, very interesting. There's a hell of a lot of South Africans. I mean, South African cricketers are very, very mercenary, aren't they, Ed? They seem to sort of like to play in a lot of these sort of franchises throughout the world. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that MI are favourites, MI New York, but I couldn't back them. Similar to when they were favourites for the South African tournament. On paper, they had a good side, but they didn't win it in the end, and they struggled. So I look at their side, and I can see why they're favourites, but I think there's a few gaps there, and I'd definitely be wanting to take them on. I don't think there's much, to be honest with you, Ed. The six sides, you could make a case for all six of them, really. So it's very interesting to weigh up. And I think the point you made, it's going to be the so-called Americans in inverted commas, because there's some players here I didn't even think were American, like Liam Plunkett and Corey Anderson, are two that stand out like a sore thumb. I never thought they were actually American, and that's, you're talking about Liam Plunkett, who won a World Cup with England in 2019, and Corey Anderson was playing for West Indies, you know, top class cricket up until what, a year or two years ago. So I think that's a massive advantage for that particular franchise. So it's going to be interesting to see, and it's probably going to be, as you say, the sides that have the better non-overseas players, and the way the balance of the side works, that will probably come out more successful, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Shall we have a look at some of these teams for you? We'll probably start with Mumbai, actually, the favourites, plus 300 on the BetRivers money line for you. The MI franchise has been disappointing, to say the least. I think they were bottom in the league of the SAT20, with only three wins. Rashid Khan was involved in that, and he's involved again. Dewald Brevis, another one. ILT20, they struggled for a bit, and they didn't make the final. They finished third, which is obviously an improvement on the SAT20, but they're not quite pulling up the trees they're expected to. So let's have a look at these teams for you. Five domestic players and six foreign players, so to speak. Possible 11 for Mumbai. Stephen Taylor, who's the USA T20 top batter, is a really good pickup, one of the most sought after. Opening the batter with Dewald Brevis. Nicky Puran at number three. Pollard in there. Tim David, the hard-hitting finisher, I suppose. Rashid Khan, Hamad Rabada, Kajisa Rabada, that is. Philip Essan and Ken Jeegi. They've had to load up with domestic bowling talent, Mumbai, to make room for some of those foreign players who are hitting so well, and because they've gone for Stephen Taylor with the bat from the USA. I don't like Rashid in there at number six. They seem to be a batter short to me. I don't like the fact they've got Trent Bolt in this squad. Kajiso Rabada, I've mentioned. Those two won't be able to play in the same time, in the same team, nor Jason Berendorf is also in this squad. I don't think it's great squad building. I don't know if you disagree, John.
No, I totally agree. I think they're missing a batter, aren't they? I mean, as you said, probably the middle order there of Kyron Pollard, Tim David, you know, you're talking, and David Visa as well. So you're looking at guys that can hit a long ball. I mean, Rashid Khan, although his batting's improved considerably and he's good for a quick 20 or 25, you know, if you're thinking of him batting six in that franchise, it's a little bit too high. I agree with you. Stephen Taylor is one of the best US players. But again, I think you're relying heavily on Brevis. I mean, Brevis is a great talent coming forward, but he didn't play a lot of IPL cricket. We hardly played any IPL cricket for the Mumbai Indians in the IPL this year. You know, I think he's probably one for the future. And I think to put him, I'm looking at that batting, Ed, and for me, there's a lot of reliance on him, because if you actually look at the batters, there's a lot of engine room, what I call engine room batters, that could probably hurry it along a little bit, like your Davids, like your Beasts, like your Pollards. But if there's someone to play an innings at the top of the order, you're probably relying on someone like Brevis or Nicky Perrin. And Nicky Perrin, he can, you know, he's very hot and cold, isn't he, Ed?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can probably agree that we're going to give MI a swerve, considering they're short-priced favourites for this one. Second in the futures money line is LA Knight Riders, possible 11 for you. Recognise the front three here. It's a potentially powerful front three. Jason Roy, Martin Guptill, Riley Rousseau. Umak Chund, the former India Under-19 World Cup winner who jetted off for the US a long time ago now. Kumar, Russell, that's Andre Russell, Sonal Marine, Lockie Ferguson, Ali Khan, who's a USA player, you'll remember him from the Caribbean Premier League. Kwane Dry, a South African, who makes it as a USA player. And Adam Zampa, the Australian spinner, well-balanced squad. Russell looks absolutely key here with bat and ball. He could reprise finishing and death bowling. But all the threes, they look a bit short, really, for me. John, what's your view?
I agree. I mean, Martin Guptill is probably yesterday's man, isn't he, in white ball cricket? It was great probably 5 or 10 years ago, but, you know, he wouldn't get in an IPL franchise. Jason Roy, yeah, I mean, a lot's going to rely upon him and Riley Rousseau at the top of the order. I agree with you. I think Andre Russell, bizarrely, because in the IPL for KKR, he'd be more suited to his batting than his bowling. But in this particular franchise, I'm looking at the seam bowling. I mean, bearing in mind, Lockie Ferguson didn't get a game for KKR in the IPL. He was benched the whole game. I don't think he played one game in a very, very poor franchise. So again, I look at the seam department there. I mean, Adam Zampa's a great white ball leg spinner. I think him and Sonny Narine have got the spin bowling summed up there. They'd be the two of the better spin bowlers in the tournament, along with Rashid Khan, I'd imagine. But I'd be worried about the seam bowling, Ed. I mean, Lockie Ferguson seems to bowl very, very quick, but he seems to go to the boundary very, very quick as well. And he as I say, KKR didn't use him. So for me, question mark about the seam bowling and probably top of the order as well. You know, they've probably got, as you say,
It's strange, really. They don't have any overseas bowling stocks, really, apart from Ferguson in the pace department. And then they've got Umak Chand and then Nitish Kumar, who's a Canada veteran, in that kind of engine room in the middle order. And you can just see them going fast from the start, potentially, then having a bit of a slowdown with those two getting together, because they don't have great T20 records. Chand in particular is not a T20 player. Russell's going to have to come in and do some damage at the death. So, and as you said, the pace bowling doesn't look right. So I think that's an X by their name at those, all the threes.
I think what you said, Ed, and you said this on previous occasions about KKR franchises, they're a good in-running team to be with or against, aren't they? Because as you say, they're probably, I reckon, in a few of their fixtures, they'll be behind the eight ball and they'll probably win a game where they shouldn't do due to that, you know, that sort of like hurry up Andre Russell factor. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're not going to contain teams, but they're probably going to chase when they probably shouldn't. If people like Riley Rousseau, Jason Roy and Andre Russell come off, if that makes sense, Ed.
Yeah, I think LA Knight Riders are one of those teams who are going to be, if they're batting first on the Texas pitch and the Morrisville pitch, this tournament is played at two venues only. We can't believe that they're going to be producing dour, slow pitches that can be full of runs, surely. The American audience has to be seeing fours and sixes all over the place. So we're expecting massive runs in this tournament. The team batting first is often going to be very, very short at your half-time break. When the innings switches over, that's just a little pointer for you. But LA Knight Riders is one of those teams who would well be excellent in the chase. They're all the threes with Bet Rivers, but they're not a pick for us on the outright, by the sound of it. Best picks are coming up at the end of the show. I'm going to do some housekeeping in a second when we complete this third team out of six. And it's Texas Super Kings at plus 350 on the futures money line with Bet Rivers. Let's give you a possible 11 for Texas. They're going to be in action very, very shortly. So all these prices are subject to change as the tournament gets underway. This is a guide that you can keep coming back to, hopefully. We're going to give you some value. A possible 11, Super Kings, as you'd expect. We've got some Chennai Super Kings here, Duplessis and Devon Conway, waving the yellow flag. Melantha, Lahira Melantha, former India player. Cody Chetty, former South Africa player. Both those two considered to be homegrown. David Millen, the South African, is overseas. Daniel Sams, Mitchell Santner. Dwayne Bravo is in there for you. Milind Kumar, USA right arm pacer, definitely gets a game. Rusty Theron, a USA player considered homegrown, but he's South African, really. And then Gerald Kutze is South African. That's their possible 11 for you. What do you make of them, the Texans?
Well, obviously, you can't fail to not like the two openers, because the two openers are serial IPL. You know, they both were in superb form in the recent IPL. Faf got a hell of a lot of runs for RCB. Devon Conway got runs for Super Kings. So I'm not worried about the openers, and I think they probably will get off the fast starts. David Miller, you know, coming in at probably five or six, you know, he's probably one of the best finishers in T20 cricket in the world. So that side of it, I'm not too worried about. Mitchell Santner, I think he's a very, very undervalued bowler in white ball cricket. Probably didn't bowl enough for the Super Kings in the IPL, to be honest with you. They tended to go with Jadeja and the Sri Lankan guy. But yeah, I like Mitchell Santner. Daniel Sams, I've always thought he's a very, very underrated cricketer, especially in T20 cricket. Not too sure about Dwayne Bravo. I think he's probably yesterday's man. And again, with this particular side, you're looking at the seam bowling, Ed. Okay, Daniel Sams and Gerald Kutze, I do like, you know, a good South African bowler. I do like him, but there doesn't appear to be much else. So that would be my worry again, probably the seam bowling department. But I said, top of the order, I think that opening partnership of Devon Conway and Faf du Plessis, I think that's as good as it gets, isn't it, in T20 cricket?
Yeah, I mean, there could be another team who start off in a fast pace and then lose their way with that domestic middle order engine room. Yep. We've just spoken about that, haven't we? And then someone having to come in, LA Knight Riders it was, wasn't it? Russell having to come in and sort things out. And Miller may have to be doing something similar with Melantha and Chetty there in the middle order. Okay, Texas Super Kings, not really up floating our boat. I don't seem to be particularly well balanced. We'll finish off the final three teams in this Major League Cricket preview for you on the Bet Rivers Cricket Show. How's that? Do give us a follow at Because We Win on Twitter so you can win across all sports, not just cricket. Give John Wright a follow on Twitter at JohnWright15 and myself at Cricket Betting. And do give us some love on the podcast provider of your choice. Let's give you a quick recap on those MLC 2023 futures prices with Bet Rivers. MI New York plus 300. Knight Riders, all the threes. Texas Super Kings plus 350. We've done those teams. We don't think there's a winner in the first three in the betting. The final three are all the same price. They're all plus 500. Let's start with Washington Freedom, John. I'll give you a possible 11 for you. We'll talk about San Francisco Unicorns as well, plus 500. And Seattle Orcas, plus 500. Washington Freedom for you. Josh Felipe opening the batting, Australian, who has been terrific in the Big Bash. And there's Andres Goose, who's probably number two on the USA batting lists over the last 3 or 4 years in T20 cricket. It's a good pickup for them. Then Glenn Phillips, number three, saw some suggestion that he was being listed as a domestic player, but I can't believe that's right. We'll come back to that. Gowda batting at number four, Enriquez, the Australian, Marco Jansen, the South African all-rounder, Wanindu Hasaranga, the Sri Lankan spin bowler, Dane Peat, the South African, is a domestic player. You remember him, a decent spin bowler in South African cricket. Justin Dill, a bowling all-rounder from Western Province, considered a homegrown player. Anrik Nokia, we've got into this team, but they do have some decent pace options to call on. Ben Dwarshuis is another one who could get into this team, but we think Nokia is going to be the pick from the get-go. Adam Milne is also in this squad. And then spinner Akhilesh Bodegum, a domestic player, a rare USA-born player, is stepping up from the minor league. They're okay, these guys, considering we've just dissed some of the other teams at much shorter prices. There seems to be some decent balance. I can understand what they're trying to do with this squad. What do you think, John?
I agree. I like this side better than the three previous we've previewed, actually. I think there's more balance in this side. Probably a little bit light at the top. I mean, Moses Enriquez is a great T20 player, you know, captain for the Sixers, who are all, you know, very consistent side in the Big Bash. Glenn Phillips, again, amazing that he didn't get enough game time for the Sunrisers. He only got it at the end of the season when the season was all over, didn't they? When they decided to ditch Harry Brook and bring him into the side. I mean, he's a very, very good side. Glenn Phillips always seems to play in sort of like sides that are sort of like with Welsh Fire in the 100. He always seems to play in teams that are probably the worst in it, but he's actually a fantastic player. So I like Glenn Phillips. Probably going to be batting a little bit too high in here. But the difference between this side and the three previously, this has got very, very good seam attack, hasn't it? I mean, you look, as you said there, Henri Nokia, Adam Milne, Ben Dorshus. I mean, they are three really good seamers. And if you throw in Hasaranga and Dane Peat as well, he's a very good spin, ex-South African bowler. So their bowling attack looks very, very good. I really do like their bowling attack. It's probably as good as anyone in it. So, yeah, I wouldn't be putting a line through the Washington Freedom. I think they've got chances. I don't know whether it'd be my pick, but out of the four teams we've quoted so far, I do like their balance in their side.
Who's going to be John's pick for this tournament? Find out at the end of the show. But let's move on to Seattle Orcas, also +500 with Bet Rivers. Let's give you a possible 11 for you. Quinton de Kock and Naaman Ali opening the batting. Naaman Ali, a Pakistan international, considered a homegrown player. Goodness knows how they've got these rules through, but he did actually play T20 internationals, just the one for Pakistan. So, you know, he's a serious player. Then we've got Aaron Jones at number three. Forgive me, I said Andres Goose was just behind Stephen Taylor on the run list for USA. It's actually Aaron Jones, of course it is, batting at number three. Then here we go. We're getting some power here. John Henrik Claassen, the South African, Sikander Raza is there. That's a fantastic middle order. Shahanja Saria, a minor leaguer in the USA, who has batted as high as number three. But is going to probably have to bat in the middle order. But a potential issue there, which could be a slowdown. Another one, Angelo Pereira. He's a Sri Lankan with residency. Probably best to keep those two apart, maybe. They could put Raza a place lower down to try and stop a significant slowdown. They don't have the T20 records, of course, of Claassen and Raza. Then we've got Wayne Parnell. Harmeet Singh is a spinner once of Indian under-19s. Israel Hook Navid, the Afghan death bowler, and AJ Tai, death bowler expertise from the Bash. What's your thoughts, John, on the balance of this team?
I like these a lot. I think I like, obviously, Quinton de Kock at the top of the order, brilliant. Henrik Claassen, probably one of the most improved white ball players in the world, I would say. I mean, he was unbelievable for the Sunrisers in the IPL in a very, very poor side. He was probably their best player, wasn't he, Ed? Sikander Raza, again, a very, very underrated player. I like him. And the seam bowling, you know, they've got some really wily... I mean, Wayne Parnell, he's a real wily, experienced... he always seems to get picked up in franchises as, you know, a very good death bowler, left armer. You know, he's got quite a shrewd cricket brain. Andrew Tyatt, again, play everywhere in the world. You know, originally from the Perth Scorchers, you know, good, you know, medium pacer, very, very good bowler. Imad Khassin, I like as well. I mean, he, even though he was captain in the PSL, he excelled in that particular tournament last year. So I actually quite like them. I think the balance of the side is quite good. Probably going to be heavily reliant on Quince at the top of the order, as you say, because he's going to be opening with a guy that's probably a lot less experienced than him. That's my only worry, that he'd have to sort of carry that opening partnership. So, but I do, again, I wouldn't put a line through Seattle at all. I think they'll be very competitive, especially with the bowling department.
Good stuff. Seattle, Orcas plus 500. Of course, they're called the Orcas. Why wouldn't they be? It seems to me we're agreeing, John, that as handicappers, we've got the futures market the other way around completely.
Yes.
To BetRivers. Our front three would be their three rags. There's an angle already for you. Let's move on to the San Francisco Unicorns, also plus 500. I suspect John and I are going to agree here. But let's see, possible 11 for you. Aaron Finch, Australia T20 World Cup winning captain, opening the batting with Finn Allen, the Kiwi destroyer, who's just got an insane strike rate. Marcus Stoinis coming in at number three. Shadab Khan coming in at number four. Corey Anderson, a home player, coming at number five. Matthew Wade, Australian T20 World Cup winning wicketkeeper. Stoinis, of course, won the World Cup for Australia. Previous to England winning it last time, of course. Liam Plunkett, 50-over World Cup winer. Carmi LaRue, who's a South African quick but is domestic. Case Ahmed, I've got in this 11 just to provide some mystery spin. Then the incredible pickup is Brodie Couch, formerly of Melbourne Stars, a really dangerous pace bowler. And Sanjay Krishnamurti, completing the home picks. He's a spin bowler. I think this is the best team in it.
I agree. I like it a lot. I think there's a lot of players with a lot to prove as well. You know, Aaron Finch, you know, he's at that stage in his career where he's, you know, he's absolute white ball bully, but he's obviously retired now from ODI cricket in Australia. I think this franchise suits him perfectly. Finn Allen is quality at the top of the order. Stoinis and Wade. I mean, Wade, although he didn't play much for his franchise in the IPL, he's still a quality batter. So the batting is very, very good. And also the bowling, as you say, the fact that you can bring someone like Corey Anderson in this side and as a homegrown player, and Liam Plunkett. I mean, Liam Plunkett had just bowled his four overs, wasn't he? I mean, that's all. And he can hit quite a long ball as well.
Yeah.
So Harris Ralph as well. Keith Ahmed is, I think, again, a brilliant, underrated white ball bowler. And Shadab Khan is one of my favourite. Shadab Khan is one of my favourite white ball cricketers. I just think he's brilliant. You know, wherever he plays in the world, he always contributes. So I like their side all the way down. The only thing I say is, well, they've still got to pick some homegrown in there. But I think the fact that Plunkett and Anderson takes away two of them, it's going to make it a lot easier, isn't it?
Yeah, LaRue and Couch aren't homegrown players at all, but they've got round the rules somehow. I suspect their only problem is going to be keeping big name players happy.
Yes.
Harris Ralph is available
yes.
and isn't getting into this team at the moment. Lungi Ngidi, another one, isn't getting into this team at the moment. So that is their issue. Can they keep these players happy? Potential that Ralph could be involved in the Pakistan Test Series. That would take a bit of pressure off, and as far as that's concerned. I don't think Shadab Khan is going to be involved in that Test Series against Sri Lanka. So no fears there. We're going to give you our best picks now for the MLC 2023 on the BetRivers futures market. John and I have come to the conclusions completely independently. We've not spoken before we've done this podcast, have we, John? So we haven't got together and decided what we're going to say beforehand. John, give us a futures outright pick for one of your picks, and just another pick about what could happen in play, or what could happen halfway through the tournament, or a player to follow, something like that.
Well, I think what you said there about the market being pretty much upside down. I mean, I think I would go with, I think for San Francisco and Washington would be my two picks, really. because I just think they're the value in the market. So I'd they'd be my two selections to win the competition. But I think what you've got to look at in this is things like, I mean, BetRivers do like what team gets the highest opening partnership. And I think that's a key market you can play in there. I noticed that, you know, if you're picking a team that's got like Seattle, for instance, where you've basically got Quinton de Kock with another, when you've got other sides that have got two sort of like pure T20 experience opening batters like Gupta and Roy, like Duplessis and Conway. Now that market is usually around about each of two, but I think what you look at, if they've got a homegrown player in opening the batting, you probably want to go with the other side. So I think that's the sort of trend of market I'll be looking at. So see teams like Texas and LA, their opening partnerships, I would tend to be backing them to beat the team that they're playing, in which team will get the biggest opening partnership market. So that'd be my tip. And as I say, the bowling will be very, very interesting. I think the small boundaries, I mean, these two grounds have got very, very small boundaries. So it's not beyond the realms that, you know, there'll be spin bowlers. It'll be about who contains the most. And again, it's a case of like the seam bowlers. They tend to go to the boundary quite quickly. So the faster you bowl, the faster you go to the boundary. But it'd be interesting to see whether homegrown, you know, whether homegrown players, when they're facing the likes of Norkia, who are pretty quick, how they cope. So I think there's going to be a lot of watching briefs before we sort of commit ourselves in the later programmes, Ed.
Yeah, and that's a good point to make, John. The later programmes, it is all about the later programmes. This is going to be MLC 2023 Betting Hub on the BetRivers Cricket Show. How's that? So keep coming back to us for these matches and picks and how this tournament is going. My two picks, for what it's worth, it's no surprise, it's Unicorns to win it at +500. And as John intimated there, big runs in this tournament. So that means we're going to see some big scores chased down, I think. So don't be surprised to be getting with big prices in play at the innings break. That's the BetRivers Cricket Show. Preview of the Major League Cricket inaugural tournament. Now we're excited. It's going to be impressive stuff, we think, and there's going to be lots of value and picks to be had throughout the tournament. So come back to the BetRivers Cricket Show. How's that? And we'll see you next time.